hotter than my other one. It's got that pocket, you know?
Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you. I apologize for the late start. We're having some technical difficulties, so I had to restart our entire audiovisual system twice, and it seems to be working. So thankful for that. So thanks for your patience. Good time for everybody to catch up and socialize for a little bit, but we're glad to be together. Pam, you okay up there? You're cold up there? It's hot. It's hot in here today. I'll trade.
It
feels good.
Yes.
There you go. 69 balmy degrees here in church today. I know. We had that beautiful weather Friday, and I think we can wave goodbye to that for at least the next week to 10 days. But it's good to be together today. Just a few announcements. Today is another one of our children's days, so grades K through 5 during the message time, when Pastor Michael comes with the sermon, you'll be dismissed for some activities, and you can exit quietly to the foyer as soon as we finish our worship time together in music. Please note, if you're serving on the nominating committee, next Sunday will be November already. Next Sunday, November 1st, have a meeting following our morning service. Missionary information there, and there's more on the table about Dolores Woods. So please take a moment and check that out and keep her in prayer. And also, beginning November 8th, which is 2 weeks from now, we'll begin collecting Operation Christmas Child boxes. And you can choose for boy or girl, you can choose the age range, and you can fill that with all sorts of goodies, do some shopping. And we'll have the labels you can affix on there. And it's a really good idea. Two big, thick rubber bands always help. And there's an area that you can make the donation as well for the shipping and handling to get those all over the world. So that will begin collecting on the 8th, and then the 15th in 3 weeks will be the final Sunday before we get those collected and sent out. And also, before we begin, one thing that we definitely need to take care of: October is Pastor Appreciation Month, and this is our last Sunday together in October. And I know, on behalf of everyone here in the First Baptist family, how thankful we are that Pastor Michael is with us as our pastor, as a shepherd, and for Christy and their family making that big decision to follow the Lord's calling here to Elba, to our little community and our church. And again, we're just thankful to have them. And I know we could take some time right now and go around the auditorium and share, but we have a gift, a token for you. And this is in a COVID-approved, non-licked, non-sealed envelope. So it's totally cool. And Robin got the card anyway. We'd blame Robin anyway. But just like to recognize Pastor Michael, round of applause, and just for our thankfulness to you. I won't spoil the surprise of what it is. I'm sure we'll find out later, but we hope you enjoy it. It's something I thought was pretty cool when I heard about it, so I'm very jealous. Is it Halloween night it rolls back, or was it the following daylight saving? Okay, I knew it was coming in the next couple. So it sounds like we roll back. We fall back that hour next Saturday if you stay up till 2 a.m. Or just before you go to bed. Get your clocks fixed. So with that, let's open in a word of prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we just come before you now just to give this time to you, give our time of worship and praise for your goodness. And we'll be singing about that this morning in one of our praise songs, just for who you are as a loving Heavenly Father. And you want us to become one of your children. If someone's here this morning, the Bible talks about that spirit of adoption. You want us to accept that gift, your Son, Jesus Christ, and his sacrifice and death and burial and resurrection, that gift of salvation. Lord, you want us to be reconciled to you. I thank you that we have that opportunity. And if that's a choice we've made in our lives already, that we can rededicate ourselves to you, that we can be here this morning to learn more about you, the truth of your word, and to put that into practice. God, and I know everyone here and even those listening who can't be here today, joined together, just again thanking you for Pastor Michael, for him listening to you and accepting that call to come serve here and serve you and serve us at First Baptist Elba. We're so thankful for him, for Christy, for their daughters, just to be able to get to know them better and them get to know us, and that we can join together in the work that you have us to do, and what you have for us to, for our spiritual growth. And as we grow stronger in you and in your word and putting that word in practice, how we serve each day. And thank you for that, again, that bond of unity that you've given us as a church through these difficult times of COVID and the challenges that it presents. And again, we praise you and thank you for your goodness and for who you are. And bless our time this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, let's take our hymnals. We're going to sing hymn number 412. And we're going to sing this, as it's called, In the Spirit of the Church. That's what a cappella means, in the spirit of the church. We're going to sing this, no piano, just a cappella and just our voices. So I'll try to pick a good starting note, but it's a song, a hymn that we all know. What a friend we have in Jesus. Let's sing together. Let's stand. And here we go. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. Amen. It's beautiful this morning. Maybe see that.
Well, good morning. It's good to see all your smiling faces today. And even if you just changed it from a frown to a smile when I said that, it's still good to see it. I hope you are all doing well. This is one of my favorite places to be, if you didn't know. And just for one reason, because I can look out into a group of people who are not wearing masks while sitting down, albeit. Now you go anywhere and, you know, there's masks on, and some of us are, some of us aren't. And I think of, you know, when you try to smile at somebody, when you've tried to do that in the past, and you just don't know if they are back at you. And we receive a lot of encouragement through that. And as we come to the end of the book of Joshua, we've been back in that in the quiet time as the people of God conquered the promised land, and they went through a lot of difficulty themselves, obeying God, making some mistakes along the way as they tried to do what he said. And in chapter 20 we read this morning, the these cities of refuges were created, places where people could go who had made mistakes, albeit some of them were pretty egregious mistakes. They still had a place to go and receive a fair trial at some point. But as I was reading that, I was thinking, man, we need some places of refuge, don't we? Right? And I'm glad that the church is one of those places. You know, you may not find a place of refuge very many other places nowadays, but this is a place that we can have that. And today we'll be talking about prayer, that prayer that we sang about. And there's so many times that we need that place of refuge, and we do everything that we can to find it, and we just can't, right? Luckily, it's here with the family of faith, and it's with God any and every moment that you choose to spend with Him. So we'll be talking about that this morning, and before we go into that, we're going to spend a little bit of time together corporately in prayer, and then we'll continue in our worship. Let's do that now.
Amen. I just wanted to share something that, to me, it was sort of humorous to watch on video this morning. It was, but I felt really bad for the people involved. I don't know if any of you are baseball fans or caught the World Series game yesterday. I didn't, but I saw a clip from it this morning. The Dodgers and the Rays, the Devil Rays, are playing in the World Series, and it was bottom of the ninth inning. Runners, the Rays were up to bat. Runners on first and second, they're down by one run, and somebody hit a shot out into, I think, right center field, and the fielder, it bounced once, the fielder ran up with his glove, routine play, these men make so much money, bounced it right off the top of the glove, off to the right, goes, runs in to chase it, runners are coming around, he throws it to the cutoff first baseman. One run comes in, it's a tie game. The man from first came all the way around third. He's trying to get home. First baseman gets the cutoff. He throws it home, and they've got that runner sort of caught, what they call sometimes like a hot box or squeeze play. So he didn't make it quite home, and the catcher went to take the ball out of his glove to throw it back to the third baseman and bobbled it and dropped it behind home plate. And that guy came all the way from first, crossed the plate, and they won by one run. The craziest ending, and I thought, oh, that is so awesome, but oh no, I felt so bad. Two errors on one play cost them a game, and if the Dodgers, if they would have completed that or gotten that out, they'd be up 3-1, and instead it's tied 2-2. So I'm not a professional athlete, but from time to times we have days like that. You think, oh, I goofed up, but then you think, oh, two big goof-ups today. I really screwed this up today. Not on national TV, though. But my goodness, it was the craziest 24 seconds I've watched in sports in a long time. So just to say that, yeah, we all feel that way sometimes. Like, God, I'm blowing it really bad. And then you think, oh, this day's been tough. And then it gets tougher. Just silly things or bad decisions or thoughts. And but just know, I mean, God, it's going to be okay. That's actually a song on the radio right now. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. And that song I've heard a lot lately, that lyric, and you just keep telling yourself, yeah, God's got this. He's got me. It's going to be okay. And thankfully, I don't play professional baseball. So let's stand and sing. We're going to sing Waymaker, that way that He makes for us, God, our promise keeper, and that light in the darkness. And then we're going to sing together, He Will Hold Me Fast. Again, great, great song for this morning. here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. Sing that again. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are here, touching every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, turning lives around. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, mending every heart. I worship you. Oh, I worship you, Waymaker. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are. Who you are, that is who you are. Oh, that is who you are. 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 He's the Waymaker. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop, never. Waymaker. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. One more time. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. When I fear, when I fear my faith will fail, Christ will hold me fast. When the tempter would prevail, he will hold me fast. I could never keep my hold through life's fearful path. love is often cold, he must hold me fast. He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. For my Savior loves me so. He will hold me fast. Those he saves are his delight. Christ will hold me fast. Precious in his holy sight, he will hold me fast. He'll not let my soul be lost. His promises shall last. Bought by him at such a cost, he will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. For my life he bled and died, Christ will hold me fast. Justice has been satisfied, he will hold me fast. Raised with him to endless life, he will hold me fast. Till my faith is turned to sight, when he comes at last. For he will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. For my Savior loves me so. He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. We thank you just once again, no matter what, no matter what happens, circumstance, what sins we commit or sins, things that we don't do that we should. But Lord, no matter the difficulty, the trial, even those moments of joy, celebration, no matter what it is, what you're working in us and what you're working through us and what you're working on with us as individuals, Lord, we know that you hold us fast, not just in the palm of your hand. Nobody could take us anyway, but God, you've got us right there in your grip. Nothing can pry us away, take us away. We stay with you. That's our goal. Stay with you, stay focused, looking at you, learning from you, growing in you and trusting you. We thank you for today. Thank you for this time now that we can again dig into your word and glean the truths there, and not just use our minds, our brains here, but God, just burn it into our hearts, and just that we use it and put that truth into practice. And we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Well, I'm thankful to have the appreciation for me and my family for being here. I did not know it was Pastor Appreciation Month, but nonetheless, thank you for that and making us always feel loved and a part of a family here at First Baptist Church Elba. So it's been a joy to serve, and you know, I was thinking about the things that I'm thankful for. And I remember my years just serving in Texas, and glad we have the Bills playing today. But I remember when it would be a Cowboys Sunday in Texas. And I know many of you don't even like to hear the name Cowboys, but I'm telling you this for a reason. I think it's for our encouragement. The Cowboys would always play at 12 in Dallas. And so what that meant is when it was football Sunday, you would know who was truly a fan, I guess, or supposedly a fan, because they would not be in church. Service is normally in 12:30. So I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that the Bills play at 1 normally so that we can all be here together. And you don't have to make that tough choice because I love the Bills too. And so today we'll be in our series. We've been in it now for 17 weeks, believe it or not. It's a series, Who We Are. And it's a series just dedicated to our church and our identity. Every church has an identity. Some are left unsaid. But it's better to know who we are and where we stand on different issues and how we approach God and His Word. And so it's helpful for us to be able to tell other people that too as we go out into the community. And today we will be focusing on this idea of reaching the community through prayer. Many of us think from time to time, I'm sure, that it takes an evangelistic outreach event. It takes a special thing going on at the church to invite someone to be a part of what the church is doing or just simply reaching this community. And I know many of you have probably had the thought, well, how do we reach our community in a time like this? I've had some people say, do we invite people to church? And I say, well, yeah, of course we still do those things, but what matters is our perspective and where it starts. It really starts with prayer. We want God to be behind everything that we're doing, and so we want to seek Him first. And so really our aim and our focus, I think, is in our phrase to remember today, pleasing the King, pleasing the King. And we'll be in 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 6. So go ahead and turn there if you have not done that already. And before we get into today's message, I just want to remind us we're coming into a new season. It's going to be the holidays soon, and with that comes a lot of things. And we'll be pushing into a new series in January, so I'm excited about that. And we're going to be in the Psalms. So if you ever needed encouragement, if you ever needed a place to go to find encouragement when things are difficult, David, in his heart, would be a place to go to. And so that's what we'll be going through starting in January, and I'm excited about that. But today we'll be in 1 Timothy, we'll be in chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. And I wonder if any of you have heard of the individual George Mueller. If you have, great. If you haven't, I'll tell you a little bit about him. He was an evangelist in the 1800s, and he was most well known for starting orphanages and starting schools. He was a guy who cared a lot about young people, and he took this perspective. He knew that the next generation was going to be the generation that was going to bring the one after that to knowing Jesus. And so for us, I know many times we think we come to church and we get the word and we worship, and so that's great for us where we're at in life. But our kids and those who are coming after us are going to be the ones who are going to lead the church after us. And George Mueller saw all these children in England that had no homes. They had no idea who God was. They certainly had no Christian education. And so he started these orphanages, and then he started schools. And George Mueller, just through the things that he started, he ended up taking care of 10,000 orphans through his organizations. He started 117 schools and educated over 120,000 young people when it came to the things of God. And he said this phrase many times, famously, that the Word of God alone is our standard of judgment in spiritual things. And this we know, but his life was a little bit deeper than that. He did all these great things, but he focused in on this idea of prayer throughout his life. And while he was crossing the Atlantic, he had an important appointment with the Prime Minister in Quebec, and he wanted to start schools, Christian schools there. And so he got on a boat, he crossed the Atlantic, and they came into some fog. And so the captain, naturally, you know, to make things safer, he slowed down the boat. I don't know if you know, but that's what you do when it's foggy, right? We were coming into town the other night, and there's this thick fog that came out of nowhere. And what do? You slow down, right? You slow down, and we got deer and other things to think about, too. What they did was they slowed the ship down. That's normal. And so George Mueller, he came to the bridge, and the captain was there, and he said, I have to get to my appointment. It's very important. It's about starting Christian schools. And the captain said, well, you know, whatever you have to do, it's going to have to wait because we're not going any faster. So he said to the captain, he said, Captain, can I go down to the charts room? And I just want to pray over the path that we're going down. And so the captain let him go down there. He prayed this really short, simple prayer. And he looked at the captain afterwards and he said, let's go back up to the bridge. You'll find that when we get there, the fog has lifted. And when they got back to the bridge, sure enough, the fog had lifted and they were able to pick up speed. And the captain, he looked at George and he said, how did that happen? And George looked at him and he said, well, it's simple. For the 50 years that I've known the Lord, I've never failed to have an audience with this king of mine. And I wonder if we think about things maybe the way that George Mueller did, and that this idea of prayer, sure, we pray when we come here. Maybe you pray at meals. Maybe you pray at other times, and that's great. But this king of the universe, the God of the universe, he loves us so much that he gives us an audience with himself anytime that we would choose to go to him. How wonderful is that, and amazing is that? I know I think about that. I've been thinking about that as I've been working through the text this week. And as you look at books like 1 Timothy, and you kind of think about the situation going on there. Now, Paul, who wrote this book and many other books in the New Testament, wanted Timothy, who he's writing to at the church in Ephesus, to understand some things about prayer, about how God works. And he's not just sort of there. He's like, he's there when you need him every once in a while when things get bad. But he wanted Timothy to understand that it was so important to have a vibrant prayer life in order to be close to God. And he writes this around 63 A.D., and he's writing to a relatively young pastor in a situation where there's a lot of idolatry going on. There's a lot of false practices going on. There's a lot of things that Timothy's having to deal with, even things like, how does the church supposed to work? How are we supposed to govern ourselves? And Paul writes to Timothy to encourage him with some things. And first things first, he wants to talk to him about prayer. And so our first fill in the blank is our purpose. Our purpose. And you find this in verse, starting in verse 1. It says, first of all, then I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people. Now, this first word, supplications, or deesis in the Greek, is this idea of seeking. It's also found in Ephesians 6:18. It says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplications for all the saints. So, who are we supposed to, when we go to God, who are we supposed to pray for? He says we're supposed to come in this way of seeking God. You know, a lot of times, I think we sort of come to our prayer times, or we come to that meal time, and, you know, we're hungry, or we want to get to the next thing, or we got up late, and we're like, okay, God, I know I need to pray, but we're going to have to make this a quick one, right? But the Word says we should seek God. We should do this diligently. And the next word here for prayers, it's not just really just about prayers, but it's a specific word, this word prosukha, and it means a place set apart, suited for prayer. So when we come to God in these supplications and seeking God, not only for ourselves, but for other people, we want to think about this. And what does this word really, prayer, when it's used here in 1 Timothy, mean? Well, it means we need to have this place set apart. Now, I don't know about you, if you have a place set apart for prayer. Maybe you're thinking, well, in my house, I don't have any place I can do that. Well, maybe you can look for a place. Maybe it could be your car on the way to work. Maybe the only place you have is the bathroom of any privacy. And maybe that's the place you need to go. Whenever that is, early in the morning, late at night, maybe in the middle of the day, whenever that is, we know that God wants us to come to him. And he wants us to have that place. And I know I've referenced it before, but maybe you've seen the movie War Room. Sometimes it seems ridiculous, right? When other people think about how we do life, or how we pray, or how we come to God and seek him, to go into a closet, right? And I know I love that in the movie. They sort of cleared out their closets. I was like, where did their clothes go? Where'd they put their shoes and stuff? But nonetheless, they found these places that they would go to, and they would shut the door, and they would spend time with the Lord. Now, I don't know what that looks like for you. Maybe it's been difficult lately. Maybe you found it at times that it has been empty when you try to seek the Lord. But nonetheless, God wants us to have this pursuit and this focus. And then he uses another word here, intercessions. The Greek word here is the entikios, and it's the meeting or coming together. So it's been so difficult for us, right? I mean, when we weren't able to meet, because God's word specifically says as you pray, as you seek God, you need to come together and pray as well. So there's this idea of it not only being individual, but of it being corporate, right? Sometimes we feel weird, right, about praying in public. We sort of think, well, that's for certain people. That's for certain people to do. But yet God wants us to gather and pray together. And there's something powerful that happens there. And this, the only other word, this only other place this intercessions is found in the Bible is in 1 Timothy 4:5, where it says, for it is made holy by the word of God and prayer. So God does something really special, right? when we seek Him, when we have this desire to meet together or to come together. And He uses this last word in the first verse. It's this word for thanksgiving or Eucharista. You may have heard it if you have a Catholic background. And it just means giving thanks specifically for God's blessings. And I wonder, well, we may think, especially going into the Thanksgiving and holiday season, well, we give thanks. Of course we do. We thank God for food on the table, for money in the bank. But there's a lot of other things we can be thankful for. And Paul's saying to Timothy, we need to think about these things specifically when we go to the Father in prayer. And Colossians 4:2 has the same word. It says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. So this is supposed to be a part of what we're doing regularly. We're supposed to be approaching God individually, finding that place of prayer. It's implied in the word. It may not look that way in the English, but in the Greek, it's implied that there's this place that we would be, that we would go to individually. And then when we come together, we celebrate praying together and hearing not only the word, but saying things back to God in prayer. It's one of the reasons we have a prayer time in the service. It's one of the reasons we haven't taken that out, among other things. And we've placed that as importance because we know worshiping God is important. We know the word is important. We know that talking to God is important, right? Some of us have wondered why it's been so difficult during this time. And I feel especially for those of you who are teachers and students and having to do things very, very differently, right? And sometimes you just think, man, this is just too much. Well, where do you go for your hope at the end of the day or at the beginning of the day? Where do you get that energy, that strength to get through all some of the, sometimes you think, crazy things that you have to do to make school work, right? Well, we know it's to the Father. And Cody Carnes came out with a song recently, "I Run to the Father." It came out this year, and I thought, man, what a fitting song, right? As you think about where are the places that we go when times get tough. Now, I've said it before, but a lot of things have gotten taken away, right? Things of comfort, the things that brought us peace before, and God's trying to point us in this direction of if you rely on anything else more than you rely on me, then it's always going to let you down, isn't it? That's why we've got to start with God in prayer. We've got to think about these things first. And then in verse 2, it says, for kings and all who are in high places, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. And this idea of peacefulness, I love it because I think about the armor of God every day. And I pray those things on. And I feel Satan's attacks because he's honest, right? If we're trying to seek God, there's going to be difficulty. You're going to feel the heat, right? You're going to feel the fire. But yet he's given us this way to have peace, and it's through prayer. And he wants us to specifically also pray for kings and those who are in high positions. How many times do we feel like that, right? And we think, that was a bad decision. I'm not praying for you anymore, right? But yet God wants us to do that. So for those who are in high positions, that we may lead peaceful and quiet lives, godly and dignified in every way. So this word here for peaceful in the Greek, it's the eremos, just meaning this idea of tranquility. Have you ever wondered, and this is just what I've heard a lot lately, as people are going, they're doing regular everyday things, grocery shopping, going to their job, driving down the road, people seem tense, right? And it seems like it's more so than just the regular kind of, oh, the holidays are getting close, like, did you get, your Christmas shopping done? And no, there's so much more anxiety, right? And there's sadness. There's things that are going on around us that seem to be magnified by our present situation. And God's telling us when we pray, here's what you need to do. You need to pray for those people who are making difficult decisions when things just seem crazy, right? And he says that we may lead peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way, or tranquil. How do we do that? And I know every single morning I'm praying on that part of the armor, the sandals of the gospel of peace. I'm like, God, would you give this to me? Because I feel that, right? I feel the stress. I feel the heat, the fire, not only of Satan, but of kind of our collective stress that's going on. You go out into the world, and it's enough that you, while you're getting groceries and things, you can't tell like if people are happy or sad or angry or what's their expression, because you can't see most of it, right? And so we're looking for that. But how do we be those people who can walk in tranquility, that can walk in peace, that can kind of be, you know, when you walk into the room, people are like, you know, they start to loosen up a bit or they start to relax. Like, that's the kind of people that we should be. Like, your neighbor shouldn't go, man, he's like really tense dude. Like, I don't know what I'm going to get when I talk to him, right? No, we should be those people who, like, when you come outside, they're like, oh, man, I'm so glad he came out. He's going to have something positive to say and just going to be encouraging. He's always so peaceful, even when the world seems crazy, right? But that's who we should be. And this is essential to how we reach out into the community. So Paul's not just saying this because, hey, it's nice to live a peaceful life. Like, you know, be calm, tranquil, do your thing, you know, don't get into trouble. But the scripture talks to us about that a lot. And it's not just in the way that we live, but in our prayers, in our thoughts, that we would pray for people who are making those tough decisions. And then in times like this, we would especially focus on this idea of tranquility, of peace. When we get up in the morning, we say, God, help me to be peaceful, because I know there's a world out there that is not peaceful right now. People need to see the difference, and this is part of it. This is how we reach out. This is how we should pray, because I know it doesn't come naturally to me, right? When the difficulties of life come, I get stressed too, and I have to say every morning, and things usually don't go as well as they could if I don't say, God, would you give me those sandals of the gospel of peace wherever I go? Here's the second fill in the blank. God's desire. God's desire. So it's good to know where God stands on these things, right? He tells us to pray, and then he wants to share with us kind of his nature and his character, what he believes. And in verse 3, it says, this is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior. So how do we please God? That's what we've been talking about, pleasing the King. And through prayer specifically, how do we pray so that we might live lives that are honoring to God, that are pleasing in the sight of God? I know I would love that to be said about me. It's definitely not all the time. But wouldn't you want, if somebody's talking to God in a conversation, hey, remember Michael, like, what do you think about that guy? Does he live a peaceful life? Does he live a tranquil life? Is he praying for those things? And is he pleasing in the sight of God? Well, that should be the thing that we're always seeking after, right? Seems like those things come easier when we're going to the Father, when we're running to the Father, right? I came in one morning on a Sunday morning, and Matt was sitting with his girls, one on either side, and they both were just, you know, holding his arm, laying their head on his shoulder, and I thought that was so awesome, and I hope our girls do that, right, when they get older. It's just a beautiful picture, right? You think of how God the Father thinks about us. And he wants us to run to him. He wants us to take peace and pleasure in him, that we might feel that when we're in his presence. And we should want that for all of us, right? Not just in our families, but the way that God views us. And then in verse 4, it says, who desires all to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. And this is the setting. We live lives of peace and honor in a time of unrest because we know God, who desires all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. Does that happen if we're not seeking God? If we're not asking God for the peacefulness that looks very different than the rest of the world? Like, when people look at us, they should just go, you're strange, right? I like it, but you're strange, right? So that you're so calm, that you're so peaceful, that you pray for people in positions of authority when some people might go, I'm not praying for that guy, I don't like him, right? He's not a believer. Well, maybe we should keep praying that would happen, right? The people who are in those positions making difficult choices, we pray for them and we say, God, and help me to do my part. Help me to be peaceful and supportive and being a part of the solution, not a part of the problem, right? But it's easy to do that, right? It's easy to complain. It's really difficult to be peaceful and be positive and encouraging. And then our last point, there's salvation for all. And that's the good news. So we talk about prayer and the things that we're supposed to do and the attitude that we're supposed to have. And we find that there's salvation for all. Some people would say, well, you know, God, he sent his son Jesus and he died on the cross for my sins. And I'm so thankful for that. And he was raised on that third day and he's granted me eternal life. And I'm really pleased about that. But my neighbor, if you met him, you would know Jesus did not die for his sins. Okay. Just trust me, when you meet him, you would find out why. Yeah, I know sometimes, we probably wouldn't say that, right? But sometimes we think it, right? The people that we come in contact with, maybe it's at work, and it's just that person that just gets on your nerves, and you hear this verse, and you're like, that's not possible, right? Because you don't know them. But yet, God's word is always true. We know that salvation is available for all, but we need to be praying like this, right? If we're not, then how do we have this right perspective in our minds, in our hearts? And in verse 5, it says, for there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So depending on what culture you're in or maybe what background you've had, you know that there's other religions and systems of belief that believe there's lots of different kinds of gods. In fact, at the time that Paul was writing this, he was writing to a culture that was predominantly led by idolatry. So by worship of everything and anything, whether it was images or the sky or the sun or the moon or the earth, there was a God for everything, and people would worship those gods in the hope that they would find favor or prosperity. But here's the good news. We have one God, right? And that's one of the main tenets of our faith. We have one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And we know what he did for us. He went to that cross. He lived a sinless life. He died for us and was raised on that third day so that we could have eternal life. But it's not just about us, right? Now, we've come into this place, and you may have heard the phrase before, country club church, right? And when I say that, I mean, sometimes we think, like when we come here, like we have friends, we have family, we have our church family who we love, but it's not just about us, right? When Paul talks to Timothy, he says, there's so many people outside of the church that are lost, that don't know Jesus, that don't have knowledge of the truth. He tells them, here's what our focus needs to be in prayer, and here's God's desire, and let me remind you that salvation is for all people. So as we pray, as we live and we operate, and we try to live these peaceful lives, we pray for that so that we might have a better opportunity to share the gospel. We have to remember that salvation is for all people. And in verse 6, it says, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. So Jesus, at the proper time, he died for the sins of the world. And I think a lot of us have walked in here today, and we hear salvation for all. We may question that for other people. We may, if I had to guess, even at times question that for ourselves and its sufficiency. Maybe you've had a tough week. And I know I was reading through Romans this week. It's just one of my favorite books in the Bible. And I grew up with a pastor who would, on Sunday nights — we don't do Sunday night church anymore, but that was really popular 10, 15, 20 years ago. And I remember going on Sunday nights, and the pastor that I had, his name was Brother Al Meredith, he would go through the book of Romans. He spent like 5 or 6 years, and I remember just going every Sunday night and just loving it because he would dive into each word. And I remember we got to this chapter, chapter 8, in verse 1, it says that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. So maybe we have a hard time thinking about salvation for other people, but even us as believers, as we walk through this difficult season, I think we think of salvation as well as, well, he saved me, but I messed up this week. And I don't know how God could love me. But yet he does, because it's not dependent upon us. And so when he says that, when Paul again in Romans says that in chapter 8, he says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. And that should give us confidence. I know some of you wake up in the morning and you think, another day of COVID. Excellent, right? And it's hard to have a positive attitude. But maybe when we get up in the morning and we run to the Father like we should, or in the evening or whenever that is, we run to the Father and we say, God, I need that assurance. I need that peace. I need to remember that there's no condemnation for us, right? We walk into this place, I know, with heavy hearts and heavy minds for friends and family, as we don't get to see a lot of them. We need to be reminded that there's no condemnation for us. And in verse 6, it says, again, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. And we have this testimony. It's the word. And luckily for us, we have the whole revelation of God, and it reminds us every day, day and out, if we would go to the Father, if our desire would be to please the King, and thinking about this, reaching the community through prayer, it's never going to happen unless we start with prayer, unless we start with the right mindset. Some of us wonder again why we get to the end of the day and we're just so tired. We're so worn out. It's not just physically, but it's mentally and spiritually, because we have to go to the Father. We have to get our peace and our comfort. And that word for peace, tranquility, that's just a great picture, isn't it? I think about all through the Psalms that I've been reading recently, there's all these pictures of this tranquil setting. And it's usually walking by some sort of place like a brook or a meadow, this place of still water, anywhere that's peaceful. So where is that for you? If you don't find it nowadays, if you find it more difficult, then where's the place you need to go? Well, it's straight to God. It's to the Father. And we have this assurance for what he's done for us. And I wanted to close just with a time for us to pray and just remind us about some of the things that we've talked about this morning and ask you this question. So I want us to take a few segments of time. The first thing I want you to pray for, you can do this with your spouse or with your family or just silently by yourself for a short time. I want us to pray about what our purpose is. So what is our purpose being here as a church? How do we approach God? How do we do that in prayer to have the right perspective? So let's just take about 30 seconds here. Let's just go to the Father together. We're doing this together to celebrate because of what God has told us in prayer that we're supposed to do this together. Okay? So let's take this 30 seconds or so. Let's pray about our purpose. What does it look like? Who are we supposed to be? And here's the second thing that we need to pray for, God's desire. So let's take the time to do that. Do we have God's desire in mind, in our hearts, as we're seeking him? And do we have that peace that he offers? Let's ask for that this morning. Here's this last thing we need to pray about. The fact that God has given salvation to all people. No matter who you interact with, maybe there's somebody this week that we could walk through that peace with, that we could share the gospel with. Let's pray about understanding that salvation really has been offered to all people. I want to close with this verse. It's back in chapter 1 of 1 Timothy, starting in verse 12, 1 Timothy chapter 1. It says, I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service, though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent. But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. And when Paul talks about himself, he knows what God has called him to, but he always emphasizes the grace that's been given to him. So as we leave this place, I want to just remind us there's hope. We can walk in peace and we can walk in confidence because it comes from God. It doesn't come from ourselves. But it's going to take daily that approach of not just spending the time in his word, but but literally the communication, the talking to God and saying, I need your help every day. I hope that can be our prayer, and as we think about what it looks like to reach the community, to see more people come into this place, see people get saved, I hope that is our prayer in our heart. Maybe you're here today, and you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus. We know it's as simple as this, that you would admit that you're a sinner, to believe that Jesus Christ came, that he lived a sinless life, that he died on the cross for our sins, and he was raised on the third day. Scripture tells us that if you would believe that and you would confess with your mouth, then you would be saved. If you want to talk about that, I'll be here afterwards to talk to you, okay? Let me pray for us, and we'll close. Father, we thank you for this better understanding of prayer. That is, you used Paul to talk to Timothy, a young pastor at the church in Ephesus. God, we need the same words, words of encouragement to know where our peace comes from, to know how we should pray. God, that we should go to you individually, find that place of peace that we have so that we might walk in peace, so that we might please you. God, we've had so many great examples of men of faith in the past, and as we think about guys like George Mueller, who made a statement about never not having an audience with the king, God, we're thankful for that it doesn't rest on us being good enough, that as your word reminds us in Romans, that we don't have condemnation. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, and we're thankful beyond compare for that. Help us to practice this each day as we seek you diligently. That's my hope, and it's my prayer for our family of faith here. As we think about reaching our community, it starts with prayer. Help us to do that, Father. We love you, and it's your name we pray. Amen. Love you, church, and you got plenty of time to go see the Bills play today. So go, Bills. Have a great Sunday.